Yes, our God is a God of order, as indicated in His record of the creative work, Genesis chapter 1. God is following a program in His plan to dissolve the present universe and to produce the new creation. And there are three primary steps evident in that plan. Our God is a God of order. He works according to a plan in all that He does. And that can be seen in the orderliness of creation itself, as recorded in Holy Scripture. Consider the plan of God followed in creating the universe. Take a piece of paper and write the numerals 1, 2, 3 down the left side. Then in the middle of the sheet, write the numerals 4, 5, 6 with 1 corresponding to 4, 2 to 5, and 3 to 6. Now, write down the creative act of God on each of the 6 days. And look what a surprising system that you will see there. Days 1, 2, and 3 were days of forming matter, while days 4, 5, and 6 were days of filling the empty creation. Or consider it this way. Day 1 saw light. Day 4 saw the light-giving bodies. Day 2 saw the sky and water. Day 5 saw the creatures that fly in the sky and swim in the water. Day 3 saw the dry land and vegetation, while day 6 saw animals and man who live on dry land and eat the vegetation. Yes, our God is a God of order, as indicated in His record of the creative work, Genesis chapter 1. God is following a program in His plan to dissolve the present universe and to produce the new creation. And there are three primary steps evident in that plan. First, God has put anticipation of a coming change in all of His creation. Romans 8, verses 18 through 25 is the classic expression of the anticipation held by all creation concerning the coming change. It begins with reference to the glory which shall be revealed in us who are Christians, verse 18. Now that is the hope which God has put in His people. It continues with a reference to the earnest expectation which pervades the inanimate creation in verse 19. So the whole of creation anticipates a coming change. Now the expectation in the hearts of Christians is called hope. Now that does not mean a mere wish, but is the future tense of assured faith. Confidence in God for things present is called faith. For things future is called hope. Now the expectation of the creation, even that part of it which cannot reason, is as positively present as the hope within man. That earnest expectation might be called an eager outlook, a yearning, or an eager longing. Phillips gives this interpretive translation of Romans 8:19. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. Yes, the expectation of a future change is permeating all creation. You can feel it in your heart too, can't you? This world is not all that there is to existence. Something is ahead. Indeed, something better is ahead. And God has put the spirit of expectation in His creation because He plans to do something wonderful in His own good time. Now, second, God has given a promise of deliverance through the coming change. Creation has a problem. It has been made subject to vanity as a consequence of human sin. Now remember God's judgment on the earth for the sake of fallen man. Decay, imperfection, futility, transitoriness marks all of the material creation. Now that did not come upon the earth by its own choice, nor because of some deliberate fault of its own, but because God subjected it in that manner. An imperfect man could not live in a perfect environment. So the sin and fall of man was followed by the cursing of the universe, that it might match his need estate and constantly remind him of his need for God. That problem is the consequence of man's sin upon the material creation. Creation, however, has a hope. God does not intend that all things remain as they are. The groaning and pain which permeates creation and all of its parts will not go on forever. God promised, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The bondage to decay, which is a slavery to death in view of the shackles of mortality, the tyranny of change and decay, all are but temporary. Hope lies ahead. The present condition of man and the world is less than ideal. H.F. Light wrote these words of a familiar hymn, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." The Christian is so much better off than the non-Christian, but it is less than the best even for him. The Apostle Paul summed up man's mortal state in these words, "We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." He continued, "I have a conflict, whether to remain with you or to depart and be with Christ." He concluded that to depart and be with Christ is far better. Yes, the next world is better than the present world for the Christian. The present world is imperfect, but that is not its end. It is not what it originally was, nor what it shall be. Its present state is not its original state, nor its final state. Something tremendous is going to happen to the material creation. God described it in Romans 8:21, saying, "In the end, the whole of created things will be delivered from the bondage of mortality in which it now exists, into the liberty from sin and the splendor and glory of those who are children of God." Now, do you catch the meaning of the promise which I paraphrased? A perfect man cannot live in a perfect environment any more than an imperfect man can live in a perfect environment. God placed the curse on the earth because it needed to be the imperfect home of the imperfect man who had fallen into sin. Now, where will man live after his resurrection when he has been made like the glorious Lord Jesus? Well, he must have a perfect environment to match his perfect nature. So God will provide a new creation wherein dwelleth righteousness. That will be heaven, where the perfect man lives in the perfect environment in the personal presence of the perfect God. Now, third, God has given proof to believers of the coming change. Romans 8:23 speaks of that proof as the first fruits of the Spirit. Other Bible references call it the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first fruits are the earnest of the Spirit is but the guarantee of God, evidenced by the personal presence in the lives of those who belong to Jesus Christ by faith of that divine Spirit. God intends to fully complete His redemptive purpose. His purpose is the total redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ of all that was blighted by sin. He offers full salvation, the saving of body, soul, and spirit to men who repent and believe. All mankind has received the offer, but not all will respond in glad acceptance. The redemptive purpose of God goes beyond mankind. It includes the renovation of the universe as well. For God is committed to the rescue of creation from the continual domination of sin. He will perform that purpose by forgiving sin and by judging sin. So by whatever means, God's purpose will be fulfilled to the ultimate detail. Now, what is God's program for the future? He will let the events of time continue uninterrupted until all things are ready. Then He will intervene in the affairs of men by calling forth His people, by judging sinners, by consigning the wicked to hell, and dissolving the universe with fire. Then He will give a new heaven and a new earth where the righteous will dwell with Him forever. Will Thompson has well written, "There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord." Are you ready for that day to come?